Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
We live in a really kind of interesting world, and I'm sure you've all noticed that. And if I were to ask you this morning how to kind of describe or characterize the world we live in a sentence, I'm sure you could all do that, and we'd get a whole range of different responses, all that would give us a window into the world that we live in. But I want to share with you just one particular perspective this morning on the world that we live in, and then use that really as a launch pad to go into something that Jesus taught us that I think that all of us really need in this world that we're living in this age. I want to describe the world we're living in is one that's characterized by conflict and cataclysm. There's stuff that goes on all the time in this world that fits into that description. And what happens, because this world is so riven with conflict and cataclysmic things that take place, that people react in anxiety and fear. And that tends to be the way that they react internally. It's what they communicate to one another. And it's what becomes the pervasive kind of way in which people respond to all this conflict and all these cataclysmic things that are going on all the time in the world around us. I want you to think about what we have seen in the last kind of week and a half. And just a few things that I want to reference this morning. Probably a little over a week and a half ago, or about a week and a half ago, on our television screens, we were seeing and hearing conversation all the time. And by the way, this has not gone away, about the possibility of thermonuclear war on the Korean Peninsula. That was followed by horrendous cataclysmic mudslides in Sierra Leone that left 400 people initially dead, another 600 missing, and 3,000 homeless. That was followed by the evil of racial hatred and murder on the streets of Charlottesville here in the U.S. And that was then followed by terrorism and multiple deaths in the cities of Barcelona, Spain, and Cambrils, Spain. And then we had this report released here in Maine, in our own state, about the increasing desperation because of the opioid crisis in the state that's actually spreading across the country. Now, that is just skimming the surface of the stuff that's going on in the globe that we live on. Really, that's just skimming the surface. The reality is that trouble confronts us and everybody else on this planet from a global to a personal scale all the time in different ways. And that trouble can make us want to shrink back. I'm talking about as believers and followers of Jesus, not just as human beings. That trouble that's around us all the time, whether it's global, national, regional, local, or personal, can make us want to shrink back into a place of anxiety and fear, and that's not a place where God wants us to live. That is not the reaction that God wants us to cultivate in our lives. Because when we do, it robs us of that which Jesus has given to us and is our inheritance in Him. But let me just say this, as Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Trouble didn't start in 2017 or in the 21st century. There was trouble when Jesus was walking on the earth. And He provided for His disciples and for us, who by derivation are also His disciples, a prescription for how to live in this world that's characterized by trouble, with conflict and all kind of cataclysmic things happening, and how to live without being controlled by anxiety and fear. And that prescription is found in a simple text that we're going to read this morning that to many of you will be familiar. Perhaps to others it might not be. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, these words of Jesus that I want to look at together with you this morning, they present us with three simple questions and three clear answers from Jesus, which if we respond in the way that God wants us to, that reality that Jesus is talking about there can be our reality in a world that's characterized by all kinds of trouble, without ever having to live in a place of anxiety or fear. So here's the first question. What is it that Jesus gives us? And it's really clear from what he says there. The answer is peace. Jesus said this to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So he's like leaving something for us, but he's giving a deposit of that same thing, which is peace, to us. And it's his peace that he's giving to us. Now that word peace in the English is derived from a Greek word, it's a translation of a Greek word in the New Testament that's very common, that means a sense of rest and contentment. And it's kind of a New Testament Greek parallel to the Hebraic word in the Old Testament, shalom, that is more often than not translated peace, and really conveys not just the idea of stillness and tranquility, but the idea of wholeness. Now, in Greek culture, just like our culture today, the idea of peace was a negative thing. When I say negative, I don't mean a bad thing. I mean a negative thing in the sense that it was the absence of something rather than the presence of something. Peace was understood to be the absence of war. And that's kind of the way that we tend to refer to peace today. We say if there's peace, there's an absence of war. There's an absence of conflict. But the Hebrew word shalom and the biblical idea of peace is not just the absence of something, it's rather the presence of something. The presence of God's blessing, God's favor, God's the wholeness that comes from being in relationship with God. In other words, his shalom. So the biblical idea of peace is not just the absence of conflict. More importantly, it's the presence of God's peace, God's favor, God's blessing. Now, it's also true that in New Testament times, the idea of peace, that word, was also used as a way of greeting somebody or a way of saying farewell to someone. You see that in the scripture in Paul's letters. He often uses that phrase, peace, as a way of greeting people or saying goodbye, signing off at the end of a letter. But when Jesus uses that word, peace, in the verse we just read from John 14, 27, he's using it in a very different way. He's not using it just as a greeting or a farewell. Let me provide a little bit of context to this verse for you because it's important. If we're going to understand the thrust of what Jesus said in John 14, 27, we need to understand the context in which he said it. You know that to interpret anything in the scripture appropriately and then apply it to our lives, we have to understand the context in which it was written, to who it was written, when it was written, what the purpose was, and so on. So let me just paint a very brief picture of the context here. Before Jesus said this, and when he said it, he was sharing a Passover meal with his disciples. It was going to be his last Passover meal before he went to the cross. And during this meal, he lays something on his disciples that must have, I can only think, must have rocked them internally. Because what he said to them during the meal was this. One of you is going to betray me. One of you putting his hand into the dish, taking the bread, is going to betray me. And by the way, another one of you guys is actually going to disown me. And ultimately, you're all going to scatter. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus is enjoying this Passover meal with us, and he suddenly lays this on these disciples who have been walking with him for 3 years. And they had left everything to follow Jesus. James and John left their fishing nets, the sons of Zebedee. Matthew left the tax collector's seat. Peter gave up his trade as a fisherman. They had given everything up to follow Jesus, and suddenly Jesus is saying, one of you is going to betray me, another one's going to deny me, and the rest of you are going to check out on me. And I can only feel, reading that, that they must have felt inside like they must have freaked out a little bit internally. Like, hold on a second. We gave up everything to follow you, and now you're saying this is all going to take place? I can imagine turmoil inside, at least mixed emotions, maybe fear, panic, maybe anger, sadness, disappointment, a feeling of abandonment. Because Jesus also said, by the way, I'm going somewhere where you can't come. And so when you read that passage leading up to Jesus' statement, the disciples start getting agitated and they start hurling questions at Jesus. And Thomas, out of frustration, says, how do you expect us to follow you if we don't know where you're going? And then Philip says, hedging his bets a bit, well, we don't need to see where you're going, but we do need to see the Father. And Jesus has some interesting exchanges with them when they say these things. But the point is, suddenly these guys, after 3 years of following Jesus, with all their hopes and dreams founded on him, suddenly in a moment, he's saying, betrayal, denial, scatter. Like everything, it must have seemed to them like in a moment, their dreams in and around Jesus were shattered when he said those things to them. At least their world was turned upside down. And the future must have seemed uncertain. One of us is going to betray you? One of us is going to deny you? And we're all going to take off on you? What does that say about our future? But Jesus then says these words that I read to you a little while ago that are our text for this morning. In the midst of this, he then says to them, but peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. You know, what's going on here is not the peace of a farewell. It's the peace of a spiritual impartation. What Jesus is giving them here, through the Holy Spirit, he's breathing into them, as it were, the peace, his peace, a spiritual impartation for them, which they would need for the days that were coming. You know, in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. And a few minutes earlier in this exchange with them, he said to them, you know what, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another comforter, another counselor, another teacher, another one that will draw alongside you. That one being the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What the disciples needed to be confronted with was a reality that would shake them naturally to the core, that would threaten their very basis for existence, that would so dismay them that they would throw themselves on the Lord, as it were, and receive his blessing. Because the blessing that he wanted to give to them was the blessing of his peace. Now, here's the application for us regarding this first question and its answer and what Jesus says. When we're confronted with circumstances and situations in our lives that either God orchestrates, or if he doesn't orchestrate it, he permits it. And let me say this to you, nothing happens in your life that God doesn't either orchestrate or permit, because he is the sovereign Lord. We like to sing a song here that says, He is in control, and he really is. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you originates with God, because you have an enemy of your soul, just like you have a lover of your soul. And you have a body of sin and death, and you have a fallen nature, just like I do. And if we decide to operate that way, then things accrue to our lives that don't originate in God. But he is the sovereign Lord. Nothing happens that he doesn't orchestrate or that he does not permit. So when circumstances occur, when things happen that shake our foundations, that threaten our understanding of the meaning of our existence, that shatter dreams that we were cultivating, that throw us into a place of dismay or agitation or perplexity or fear, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Look at that. My peace I give you. We receive this blessing and the peace that we need from Jesus in the midst of trouble when we respond by cultivating a prayerful heart of thanks. And let me say, in each of these instances I'm going to talk about this morning with respect to these questions that Jesus throws up and the answers he provides, there needs to be a response on our part. If we're facing trouble now or in the future of whatever kind, and it's not necessarily something we brought on ourselves, just stuff. And we will, because the Bible says, man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward, Job 5:7. In other words, trouble on this planet is inevitable. We're born unto it. And if you question that theologically, let me give you the words of Jesus, who said in John 16:33 to his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble." So don't be surprised when that comes. We will have trouble. You know, we're not cocooned as Christians in some bubble so that trouble happens to everybody else around us, but we're never touched by any of that. That wasn't true for Jesus. It wasn't true for the greatest apostle in the New Testament, Paul. It wasn't true for the New Testament church. It hasn't been true for the saints of God for the last two millennia. And it won't be true for you and I that we're somehow cocooned and never touched by and never have to confront trouble in our lives, whether it's global or personal or anything in between. Jesus said, in this world, not in the world to come, not in the kingdom of God in its fullness, but in this world, broken as it is, we will have trouble. But the point is, we do not have to be controlled by it. We do not have to be ruled by it. Our responses and reactions don't have to be manufactured by it. This is what Paul said to us in Philippians. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And look what happens here. A divine transaction takes place. When we're not anxious about anything, and in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we present our request to God, what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This has been true for human beings forever, but it is true for us today in this world that we live in. We need our hearts and minds guarded, garrisoned. And that's the language here in the Greek, the word picture Paul is using when he talks about the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds. It's the picture of a soldier standing, or a garrison of soldiers standing, protecting our heart and mind. That's the word picture. But he's saying it's not soldiers that do that. It's the peace of Christ that transcends understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds. We need